Jesus' name, for Sister Elmer, her son Jose, Lord, for all the people at Casa Hogar Mami, the work and the staff and all of the children, all 170 plus children, Lord, and the wonderful things, the homes that we're building there, the things that are happening. And Lord, we thank you for divine protection for all of the children, for Sister Elma, all the workers that are there as well. And Lord, help us to always be a part of everything that she's doing. Now, Lord, this morning we lift up those in our congregation who have been ill, Father, especially for Steve Edwards tomorrow, who's having surgery. Lord, be with him and Susan. And Lord, for Martha, Carol's mom, just be with her who's in the hospital. Bring healing to her body, Lord. And for Lowell, Danny, Roy, Yolanda, and Sherwin, Mary Bentley, all the people that we're praying for. Lord, we thank you that you are indeed the healer. Now, bless this word, and somehow, some way, as you always do, help me, Lord, this morning to focus on your voice, to focus on your word, that my mind and spirit and body, soul would be perfectly, Lord, just at calm. Now, we love you. We praise you, Lord. Touch our lives this morning and touch the lives of those who are listening live in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning into the Old Testament for the last sermon on fruitfulness for this year. Or, well, maybe not for this year, but we're going to First Chronicles right after Second Kings, okay? First Chronicles right after Second Kings. We're going to be in chapter 4. And let's look this morning, chapter 4. Let me just read two verses to you. From verse 9 and 10. It says, and now Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name sorry or sorrowful, Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain or bore him in sorrow. And Jabez called on the Lord God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from all evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested. For the last four Sundays, we've been talking about what the word for 2014. The word is fruitfulness. And we have launched out into the deep. We're going to find the area, just like Peter, when Peter got into the boat with Jesus. And Jesus said, Peter, launch out into the deep. And launch out and let your net down for a catch. And Peter said, Lord, there's not any fish out here. You know, I'm paraphrasing that part. But he said, there's nothing out here. We've toiled all night. There's nothing, nothing at all. And he said, but nevertheless, at thy word, I will obey you and I will step out. And you know what happened? There were so many fish, the nets were breaking. They had to call their partners and so forth. Something happens when we step out into the perfect will of God. Amen. We go into the area. We find the area of the miraculous, the area of our provision, but we also find the area of our fruitfulness. Now, we have already learned and been discussing how we live now in the evil days and that God has required us to walk carefully, redeeming or buying up every opportunity that he's giving us. Last Sunday, we learned about the enemies of fruitfulness. And today on our concluding message on this series, we're going to talk about the prayer for fruitfulness that's recorded for us in the Bible. Let me say again that just because I believe in all of my heart that this is the year of fruitfulness for each and every one of us, and I do believe that, that doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect in our lives, does it? In other words, that doesn't mean the absence of warfare, doesn't mean the absence of trial, temptations, things coming against us in our heart. But in the midst of all of that, whatever we're facing, if we will determine in our hearts to say, Lord, I'm going to rise up and be obedient no matter what. No matter what I'm facing, I'm going to walk not by sight, but I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to do what you say. The Lord tells us if we will do those things, he will direct our paths. He will take us to the area of our fruitfulness, the specific areas that we need to bear fruit in. Just like that man, remember in Psalm 1, the Psalm 1 man who didn't take the counsel of the ungodly, didn't sit in the seat of scorners and all the rest of that. You know, what he did was he obeyed, he meditated upon the word of God. And then what did it say? And God says in his word, he shall be like a tree planted. That means ownership. God says, I'm going to plant you beside the rivers of water. And he goes on to say that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. So here in this chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, I know this is a passage of scripture that you turn to often. Amen? That was a little humor. Don't be boring now like the first service, okay? I thought they were asleep. You know, I told them, I said, you're my favorite service. But now, I said, now the second service is my favorite service because of that. So this, we don't turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and read about the genealogy of Judah, do we? No, there are 118 names listed there. Now, if you want to go to sleep at night and sleep well, then start in verse 1 and start reading those names. And by verse 6, you'll be asleep. Amen. And there's no details that are given. Oh, there's a few details, like in verse 11, it says, these were the men of Rekah. And verse 13 says, and these men, they were craftsmen. And then verse 23, it says, and these were potters and so forth. But out of all the names that are listed there in the genealogy of Judah, the Holy Spirit singles out, if you will, a single man and a single prayer. And he does it for all of us to read from all generations. Now, we don't know anything about this man called sorrowful. This man, actually, you could say called sorry or grievous or whatnot. That's what that name means. We don't know anything about it. We don't know whose son he is. We don't know what time frame that he lived in. The only thing that's given, and the most important thing that's given, is the content of a man's prayer. And without a doubt, God gave us the content of this prayer for a specific reason. He wants us to know it and understand it, so it's important to us. Here is a man that said, Lord, I want a fruitful life. I want my life to be fruitful. And here's what's so interesting, is he prayed for specific areas in his life. Now, with all that being said, let's look at verse 9 and the prayer of fruitfulness from this man named Jabez. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name sorrowful or painful, saying, because I bore him. And that's the Hebrew word. Even though it says pain, it's a word, it's a play on words there. It means sorrow as well. Okay. Now, that's all we know about Jabez. We said, you know, it says he was more honorable than his brothers. Now, does that mean he was an honorable person? Undoubtedly, yes. But, you know, if you looked up that word honored in the Hebrew, you'd find out that the word honorable is used 14 times in the Bible, okay, in the Hebrew text. And also, it means the word glorious, translated the same way, kabod in the Hebrew. And that's used about 5 times in Scripture, speaking of the divine presence or the Shekinah glory of God. However, if you continue really studying out this Hebrew word, you'll find out that it's translated 13 times as heavy, like a burden upon a person. It's also translated 7 times, the same word, as hardened, like it's just going through a hard time in your life. Or grievous, or the word burdensome, we get the same word. So in light of this text, whenever we really look at it from the Hebrew, I believe that his mother's comments about his brothers as well is speaking of a man in his life who's saying, I am so burdened. I am so weighed down with the things of life. And my life is not fruitful. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And it seems like maybe he was hardened. It could be even more than his brothers if we use that same Hebrew word there. I mean, his mother, think about this for a moment. His mother called his name Jabez, or sorrowful. How would you like to have that name? I mean, think about that for a minute. We don't name our kids like that today, do we? Are you awake? No, I want to make sure you're here this morning, right? No, I mean, listen, we don't name names like that today. And you think about this for a moment. I mean, his mama says, you know what? You're just going to cause me pain. And yes, that's talking about childbirth. But let me ask you a question. You know, what happened 8 days after a Jewish male child was born? He was circumcised, okay? And the sign of the covenant, of the Abrahamic covenant. But also, wasn't that the day that he also received his name? Well, yes. And you would think that 8 days later, mom would have felt a little differently about Jabez, don't you? Yeah, I mean, you know, and no, she said, listen, here's the deal, Jabez. You know, here's, you know, you make me sorry. You made me sorry that you were ever born. That's a horrible thing to say. I know that I've counseled sometimes with teenagers, you know, over the last 30 years, and they'll come and say, you know, my dad said to me, he said, I wish you was never born. And it killed me when he said that, or my mother said that, or my grandparents said that. That's a horrible thing to bear, isn't it? I wish you had never been birthed. You're just a pain to me in my life. I'm talking about the prayer of fruitfulness from this man named Jabez. So before us, this prayer, it's only 32 words. And you know what's interesting? The study of this prayer by a man, a giant of a man named John Hyde, when he was a missionary in Punjab, India in the late 1800s. This prayer of Jabez literally transformed his ministry and his life. There were only 5 missionaries in India or Punjab, India at that time, and he was one of them. And there, over that area where he was at, there were well over 1 million unbelievers. They had virtually no people turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. He got and he looked at this prayer. The prayer of fruitfulness. And it says here, as I'm reading from his biography, it says, and by 1908, it says that John Hyde dared to pray what so many at the convention as an impossible request. See, he got this from the prayer of Jabez. And it says, and that during the coming year in India, he said this, one soul will be saved every day. 365 people converted, baptized, publicly confessing Jesus as their Savior. Impossible, yet it happened. Before the next convention, John Hyde had prayed and more than 400 people came into the kingdom that year. And when the prayer union gathered again, he doubled his goal. He said, now 2 souls a day are going to be saved. 800 conversions were recorded that year. And still it says Hyde showed an unquenchable passion for lost souls. At the 1910 convention, when he showed up, they had changed his name from John Hyde to Praying Hyde because he had prayed. He believed. He said, Lord, I am a missionary. I love you. I love the people of India. And he says, I want a fruitful ministry. Amen. Do you want a fruitful walk and a fruitful ministry as well? Because we've all been called into the ministry. This is a wonderful story here about John Hyde, and it teaches us something. Loved one, listen, prayer is not some type of experiment. John Hyde was bold in his praying. He believed the word of God. He wanted that fruit. Now listen carefully. We have never, in the existence of Calvary Chapel, we've never preached formulas or if you do these 5 steps, you're going to be instantly fixed in your life. We don't lift a portion of scripture out of context to try to prove what we feel is right or wrong. We teach God's word. Amen. So right here before our very eyes in 2014, the year of fruitfulness for each of us, if we'll only believe, I look at this and I say, oh Lord, the prayer of Jabez for fruitfulness. You know, it's not a formula. And look what he did. It says this man called sorrowful. What a name. It says he called, that word call means he prayed, and look who he prayed to. He prayed on to the God of Israel. Now, prayer is something we don't want to neglect today. We want to be people that pray every morning. You know, sometimes I have times where I can pray a lengthy time, and sometimes I don't have time to pray a lengthy time, but I still pray. It's a dangerous thing, I believe, for any Christian to wake up in the morning and leave the home without meeting with God the Father. Amen. I think we need to be people of prayer. And it seems here that Jabez, he went to the Lord and he was weighed down. Remember that Hebrew word, honorable, can be weighed down. It can be a burdensome. He was weighed down, I think, with hurt. Now, I'm not going to say that his mother didn't love him because it doesn't say that here. I'm not going to say that his brothers didn't love him because it doesn't say that here at all. But I will say this. He was worn out with something. He was worn out with the pain of his past, and we don't know all of it. But what we do know is this, that in this prayer for fruitfulness, he was very specific, and he prayed for 5 specific areas for fruitfulness in his life. It says he called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Do you ever pray like that? Oh God, bless me. Bless my children. Do you know I pray every morning when I pray, I have my list of, it doesn't really matter what I have, but I have them, okay? But then I say, Lord, bless that person, oh God. Bless that family. I know what they're going through. I have their petition, the things they've asked me to pray about. You know, I have it right there, their name, and then on beside it says what they're desiring to see in there. Oh God, bless them. Let that fruit come to pass right now in their lives. But see, when Jabez prayed this prayer, he used a word, the word, oh, and it's almost a word that is groaning in prayer. Matter of fact, the word, oh, there, it's like a language of affection, yes, but it's also intense desire, saying, oh, God, he's crying out. He's burdened in his heart. He says, I need to have a fruitful life. You know, he didn't ask for money. He said, I need the supernatural favor of God. Amen. And you know what? Do we have the supernatural favor of God? Yes. God loves us. Jesus died for us. The Holy Spirit has filled us and is present with us right now. So he's praying. This reminds me of Jacob. Remember Jacob and Esau. Remember how Jacob left home and he found himself one night wrestling with God. Think about that. Wrestling with the Lord. And there he was, it says in Genesis 3, 32, 27, it says, and so God said to him, what's your name? And he said, my name is deceiver. My name is trickster. My name is heel catcher. My name is Jacob. And God said to him, he said, well, your name shall no longer be deceiver. Your name will no longer be heel catcher. You'll no longer deceive like you did your brother Esau, in other words. He said, your name shall be Israel, Prince of God, or a man governed by God. For you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Now listen, Jacob didn't win, did he? No, he was just holding on for dear life. He, you know, God crippled him in his hip there and so forth. Oh no, listen, no, Jabez is the same way. That's what that word, oh, means. He's saying, oh, I don't want my name. I don't want what my name has brought me, what my name has given me. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of sorrow in my life. So his very first specific request in prayer was, no one can bless me but you. No one can help me but you. No one can see the problems or the pain in my heart. The only one that can see it is you. And the Bible says that God grant him what he requested. I'm going to ask you a question. Jabez was an Old Testament saint. We are a New Testament saint. Oh, you're either a saint or you ain't, okay? But I'm assuming that we're all saints this morning. Are we blessed? Are we a blessed people? But do we really believe we are a blessed people? Or do we say, well, I have to have this tangible expression or whatever. I'm really blessed. Listen, you are blessed no matter what happens. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1:3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Listen. We have everything we need. It's there waiting on us. You know, that's like, you know, we have to go and acquire it. I mean, it's ours. We possess it. That's our position. But the fact of the matter is that how do we appropriate or lay hold of those things? We do it only by faith. Amen? You have to believe that you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. I'm talking about not when we get to heaven. I'm talking about right now on this planet. Proverbs 10:22 says this, the Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. Now listen to what it says. All our work adds nothing to it. Nothing to it. Well, Lord, look what I've been doing for you. It doesn't help you. We should be serving and doing everything we can for the Lord, right? But God says, oh, now that you've done that, now that you've given this or did this or whatever it might be, now, you know, you're blessed. No, God says, no, you're already blessed. My son died for you. Amen. You're already blessed and you are in Christ Jesus. God says, no, you're blessed. You can't add anything to it. It's not by our performance or by our works or by earning it or being good enough or any of those. If you are in Christ, you are a blessed person right now. Thank God for that. And look what he does in this second specific request. He says, and enlarge my territory. The word enlarge means to multiply it or increase it. He's not asking to have a mansion. That's not what he's asking for. He's saying, Lord, here I am in my life right now. And the thing that I've had has all now been taken away from me. I just want you to keep, I want it back. What I've lost, maybe through the unfruitful walk or whatever has it, Lord, I just want it back. I want to do more for you. I want a fruitful life. I want to now increase my vision because my vision is too small. You know what? To enlarge our territory here. Isn't that a blessing? We're always enlarging. We're always seeing things that God is doing. You know, whether it's in Mexico, whether it's here in our stateside work, or whether it's, you know, through our radio stations and all the different states and all the things that are going on, you know what we're seeing? We're seeing fruit, 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 and fruit. You know, it's like just this week alone, Merlinda says, Bill, there's a lady just called in. She's listening down in Temple, Texas, you know, and so forth on another radio station besides KDKR, and she's an elderly woman. And a Catholic lady, and she says, I just called. I want you to know that I just prayed with Pastor Bill on the radio to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And she said, listen, yeah, amen. And said, you know, would you send me that book called Welcome to the Family of God? Because I don't know how I need that book. And he said, and those, the CDs on the book of Revelation, that's what there's on the air, I think, down there. And she said, how much are those? Because I'm on a fixed income and I really would like to learn. I did not know anything about prophecy. I didn't know anything about the end times. I didn't know. And so I just said, Merlinda, you know, just send them all to her. Just free of charge. Don't even worry about it. Don't charge her a penny. Freely you've received, freely you give. Amen. See, we're expanding our territory, and that's what it means. Every time we expand, if we expand our territory, we're removing the darkness from this city. Amen? That is a fruitful work, and that's what God wants us to do. And so I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, and here's my prayer. This is what I prayed this morning. I did not pray. I prayed this prayer this morning. Listen, I did not pray, enlarge our territory. You know what I prayed? I prayed, Lord, enlarge our hearts. Enlarge our hearts, God, because if you don't enlarge our hearts to overcapacity, you know, where it's not a dead heart, it's a loving heart, a heart full of Jesus, a heart full of love. Lord, open up our hearts and expand it so we can do more down in Mexico, more here in Fort Worth. Amen? Open up our hearts, enlarge our hearts. Give us a heart, Lord, like Jesus. Give us the lowly heart of Christ. Let him dwell there, live there. Let us see everyone the way Jesus sees them and reach out and touch them in our lives. You remember there Joshua, after Joshua went into the promised land and he started taking all the territory, defeating all of God's enemies. He said over in Joshua chapter 13:1, Joshua said after all the enemies have been defeated, he said, there is so much land yet to be possessed. Let us not waste our time. We only have a little bit of time in our life. A to B, birth to death. It's so short. Our life is but nothing but a vapor. It's soon going to be over. And the only thing that is going to last is what we've done for Jesus Christ. Amen? That will follow us all the way into eternity. All the way into eternity. There's only a brief moment. Matter of fact, the Lord may catch away the church tomorrow. We don't know. We need to be busy about the Lord's business, expanding the territory here, enlarging it. And look at the third specific thing he prayed. Oh, that your hand, that means all that you are, God, that your hand would be with me. What a prayer. Not just any hand. He didn't say, I need man's hand. No, I don't need the government's hand. He says, God, I need your hand. I can't be fruitful. I can't break out of this sorry state that I'm in. I can't break away from this lousy name that I've been given unless you do something about it. I want to be fruitful in my walk. And I know without you, I can't do it. What did Jesus tell us about bearing fruit? He said, without me, in John 15, he said, without me, you can do absolutely nothing. He says, oh, for your hand to be with me. You know, the Bible says at the right hand of God, there's pleasures forevermore. Amen. The right hand. Oh, God, holding me, leading me, guiding me. Is there anything greater than the hand of God leading us? And you know where he leads us? He leads us, in, yes, into provision, into the miraculous, but he also leads us into the areas of our fruitfulness, specific areas of fruitfulness in our lives. And that's what this man prayed. The Lord is with us, isn't he? What did Jesus, what did the resurrected Lord promise us and his disciples? In Matthew 28, he said this, 28:20, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even till the end. How close are we? Even till the end of the age. And Jesus closed it with, amen. That means certain, so be it. It is sure. You can count on it. The Lord Jesus is here right now. He's there with those that are listening live via the app or online, whatever they're doing. He's there. He is here with us. We don't have to fear. You know, I don't know what's going to happen this year in America. I don't know what's going to happen in the world. But I do know what God is going to do. He's going to be with us. That's why Isaiah the prophet cried out. He says, fear not. God cried out. He said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. And that's what he's doing for us. What a blessing. Now look at the fourth specific thing. And that here's, he says, oh, and that you would keep me from what? Evil. Boy, that is a prayer to pray, isn't it? Matter of fact, if you pray the Lord's Prayer, remember what Jesus said, one of the in that divine outline of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:13, Jesus said, and when you pray, say this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the what? The evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, listen. Jabez says, listen, Father, he says, I want a fruitful life. Keep me from sin. Sin will destroy a life. Sin, everything sin touches, it destroys, it ruins. You know, thank God for grace. Where sin abounded, grace much more abounds. I look and I say, oh Lord, keep me from wickedness. Keep me from the devil. Keep me from the evil one. I just want a fruitful life. Look at the fifth specific that he prayed for. He says, and that I may not cause sorrow. The word pain there is a play on the word again. The same name is Jabez. Isn't that interesting? He prayed in this fifth specific thing. He says, I don't want to be known as a Jabez. I don't want to be known as a man of sorrow, or do I want to be a Jabez or cause pain or sorrow for other people? What a prayer. And I look at that and I say, oh, 32 words. He's gone full circle. We began with sorrow and pain. We get to the end, and here we are, ending with sorrow and pain as well. He says, I want a fruitful life. Have you ever cried out to God and said, I want the pain to stop? I know you have. I have as well. I want the pain to stop. I want my heart to stop hurting, Lord. I am so sorrowful. The NIV says this about this scripture in verse 10. It says, keep me from harm so I will be free from pain. Now, he wasn't saying the regular pain of serving God and all of those things. No, no. The things that come in our life. The pain. I mean, there's so many things that break our heart today. Amen? And what did God do? And God, or so God, granted him what he requested. That's incredible. Jabez's name, his life now, became a contradiction. He says, man of sorrow, no. God says, I'm going to grant you a fruitful life. That's what you've prayed for. I'm in agreement with all of that. Listen, Jabez, what a name. You ever ask, I know we've all gone to our parents and say, why'd you name me that? You know, people call me Bill, but Bill's not my name. My real name is William. Matter of fact, William James. Nobody calls me that except my sister when she's mad at me. You think about names. And I started thinking about that, and as I was praying this morning about Calvary Chapel, praying over the church, I said to myself, what name, Father, is attached to some of them this morning? What name are they carrying? And what name, like Jabez, what name do they want to get rid of from their life? Amen? I mean, just get it away from. See, in other words, Jabez was full of pain, sorrow from evidently the past. You know, maybe this morning, and I pray not, there's, you know, to go through a divorce is such a ripping, such a tearing. Is that your name this morning? I'm going to court, Bill. My husband left me or my wife left me, and that's the name I want to get rid of, you know. Or my name is just wounded. I'm just wounded by life. I'm just wounded by all of it. Or Bill, here's the truth. I'm a young person, and you know what? I've been hiding. Here's that name that's killing me. I was date raped. Or Bill, I've been molested. And it's breaking my heart, and I can't seem to get rid of it. I was talking to a little boy in my office not too long ago. He came in, and he said, you know what I want to get out of my life? And I said, oh, what is that? He said, I'm so tired of this name. The name that he wanted to get rid of was, I'm being bullied. I go to the bathroom, and they make fun of me, and they mock me, and they push me, and they shove me. I go to the classroom, and they make fun of me. I have no friends. I have no one. They bully me. He says, I just want to get rid of that name. You may be here this morning, and you know what? You came in, and you say, oh, I love the Lord, and I know you do. And you sang to the Lord and all of those things, and you smiled at everybody, but really inside, you're just broken. Maybe your name this morning is I Am Broken, Bill. And nobody knows anything about it. My life is just broken into pieces. You know what? I love about my Savior, your Savior, Jesus Christ? His specialty is broken people. And I used to be one of those broken people. Oh, how he loves to take all of our brokenness and all of our pieces. And he says, I'm going to not just put you back together. I'm just not going to remodel you. I'm going to make you a brand new creation. And old things are going to pass away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. That's what Jesus says he's going to do. He says, I specialize that. See, maybe you're here this morning, but no one knows it. Or maybe you're listening live and you wouldn't tell a soul. You don't even tell your wife or your best friend. But really inside you're broken. You're so beat up. You know what Jesus said in Matthew 12:20? Jesus said, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. You remember what reeds were used for back in New Testament times? They were made to make a musical instrument, a flute. And they would go out and they would start gathering them up. And the ones that were bruised, they were throwaways. They were worthless. They were no good. Jesus said, do you feel like a throwaway? That's like that little boy when he talked to me. You feel like no one loves you. Nobody wants you. He said, I have a name and it's called I'm being bullied. And it's put sorrow in my heart. You could be here and you're broken. And Jesus said, you're bruised and you're battered. And he said, you know what? I won't throw you away. I won't ever throw you away. I won't ever leave you. I won't ever forsake you. Ever, ever, ever. He says, you know what I'll do with your brokenness? I'll restore you. I'll bring healing to you. He says, a smoking flax I will not quench. In other words, maybe you're burned out in your life. Just burned out. Oh, you don't tell anybody. You know, you sit there and you say, I go to church. It's just mechanical. I pray. It's just mechanical. I'm tired. I don't know how to deal with my children anymore. I don't know how to deal with my marriage. I don't know how to deal with life. I'm bruised. And my flax, my wick, my candle, it's nearly completely out. Jesus said, I would love to restart you. I would love to rekindle that in your life right now. You have a name, and it's called pain. And Jesus said, let me have it.
Let me have whatever it is because I want you to be fruitful in your life. There's those specific areas that are just, they steal from us. Am I right or wrong? Those specific areas. That's why he was praying those five specific things. Now listen, let's make a quick application to what we're doing this morning on this prayer for fruitfulness. Turn to 1 John chapter 5 in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 there in the New Testament. And look at verse 14. Oh, this is a wonderful set of portion of scripture here. John writes to us and he says this. Now this is the confidence, that word means boldness or courage or trust, okay? This is the confidence that we have in him. Are you ready for this? That if we ask anything according to his will, let me stop right there. What is the will of God? The will of God is the word of God. Amen? Okay, if you ask anything according to his will, and sometimes if it's not in the word, of course, there's the unknown will of God for our lives. Jabez said, here are five things. I can't take it anymore. And obviously, he was in the will of God, and God agreed to it because God granted him his request. But here, as a New Testament Christian, it says we have this confidence that if we ask anything according to his will, look what he does. He hears us. Prayers that are according to the will of God are heard by God. And listen now, and if we know, if we have that assurance, if you believe it in your heart, if we know that he hears us, look what happens. Whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Do you believe those scriptures? John just said to us, hearing from God equals having from God if it's according to his will. And this is his will, is the word of God. Amen? And I look at this and I say, oh Lord, is it the will of God for each of you to be fruitful in 2014? Well, how do you know that? Maybe God doesn't want you to be fruitful. Maybe God wants you to go down the drain. Do you believe that? Okay, no, why? Because we know the will of God. We know the word of God. What did Jesus tell us about fruit? He says in John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus later said in John 15:16, he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear what? Fruit. And that your fruit should remain, and here it is, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Jabez went to the Lord. He had five specific areas of his life that he asked God. He says, I'm unfruitful here, and I want to be fruitful. Now listen carefully. What specific area? Specific area. See, we're bearing fruit in many different areas, but the specific area that's destroying you, that's causing you pain. What specific area of your life is fruitless right this minute? Your heart is breaking over. You know you're not bearing fruit there. It could be a multiplicity of things, but it's a specific thing, a specific area. You know, listen, let's just take one thing that's so common, unfortunately, in the church today. Let's just take the word marriage. What name do you put on your marriage? I was just talking just recently with another man of God from another church, and how his wife left him for another man. Another man. And he was weeping on me. He says, I am so destroyed in my life. I love her so much. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm in love with her. I love her. Oh, Bill, pray with me. And I said, you know what? You have a name. And that name is, my marriage is being destroyed. And you know, that's what I'm talking about this morning. Is, you know, and I pray that everyone's marriage is wonderful and great. But you know, wouldn't you say that marriage should be fruitful? In other words, the first year, you know, and the second, and it keeps, and it gets gooder and gooder and gooder. Amen. In other words, more fruit and more fruit. And every decade that we're married is a different kind of fruit. Maybe the first decade, you sit on the same couch and it's just, you know what I'm talking about. But when you get to be my age, 45, Becky, she has her recliner over one end of the living room and I'm way on the other end of the living room. And I'll wink at her, But you know what? We sit there and I can look at her and I'll tell her, I say, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever met. I'm so thankful for you. There's not a morning when I come on a Sunday service that I stop in the car before we ever walk in. I said, I want you to know how much I love you. Now let's go love God's people. I say that to her every Sunday. Listen, our marriages should get better and better, richer, better fruit. Amen. And we change as we get older. And so, but it's that love that we have for one another. I mean, is it God's will for a Christian's marriage to be fruitless? No. No, it's not. It's God's will for a marriage to bear beautiful, wonderful, incredible fruit. Every Christian's marriage, and yes, I know it takes two to tango. It takes two to be in agreement with God. Amen. But if you're a believer, why would you not want to be in agreement with God? It says in the book of Ephesians, it tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 about marriage. It says here, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, we know what that means, men, don't we? That means when we come home from work, we open the door and there's a trail of rose petals. We walk in, she takes off our coat. And I say, what's that noise? She says, oh, that's your bath water I'm drawing. I walk in and there I get into that bath water and I say, what is that smell? She says, oh, that's your burnt offering. No, that's your dinner. No, it's your dinner that I'm fixing. Is that what that scripture means? No, it doesn't mean that. It says, goes on and it says, listen, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Fruitfulness. God says, you can't love her the right way. You must love her my way. And wives, you must love your husband my way, not your way. We're so wise. We have marriage and it's not God's way. Isn't that sick? God created us male, female. He created marriage. He gave us a book. He gave us all that we need to know. And you know what? The divorces in the church today is just as great as in the world. Fruitfulness. God says, I want you to bear fruit. And listen, I'm going to ask you a question. If your marriage is in trouble and you both went to Ephesians chapter 5 and said, Lord, this is your word. I believe your word and I want to do your word. Do you think that God will say, okay, I'm going to help you? Yes. He says, come on. I give you all the power that you need. I'll give you everything you need to get your marriage right. Or the same thing with raising our children. I'll give you everything you need. Just agree with me. Agree with the word of God. And I look at this and I say, oh Lord, what specific area in your life right now is fruitless? What's the name of it? What's the name? You say, well, Bill, I tell you the truth. I don't know where to go. I don't know direction. I need direction in my life. I go over here. I think I'm supposed to be here. I'm confused. I get over here and that's not where I need to be. I get over here, that's not where I need to be. What's the will of God for direction in my life? It's very simple, isn't it? Let's just take one scripture that comes to my mind right now. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. In other words, your intelligence, all the things, this is the way I think it should be. All of your feelings. No, don't lean upon your own understanding, but acknowledge me. God says, acknowledge me in all of your ways and everything that you're doing. And he says, I will direct your paths. And as I've taught many times in this pulpit, the word direct there means level, smooth, and prosperous, the Hebrew word. Our problem is that we let God start directing us and we win it and all of a sudden it feels like, Lord, I'm going into a wall or I'm going uphill. And you said it was going to be level and prosperous. And he says, it is. My definition of level and prosperous for you is not your definition. Do you understand? Sometimes we have to have resistance. What is it doing? It's creating fruit in your life. Whenever I say, Lord, here's the direction I'm going in, I acknowledge you. I just believe, and you know what? That settles it. And every time you step out to bear fruit in your life, you will have warfare. People, it'll come against you. It's amazing. Just the things that have happened since I preached the first sermon of the New Year's message on fruitfulness. Now, with all that being said, I thank God that we're overcomers. Amen. The Bible says, it says in the word, it says, whoever or whatever, 1 John 5:4, whatever is born of God overcometh the world. That's the only requirement. The only requirement is to be born again. Amen. And if you are born again, you've overcome the world. If you're not born again, you've not overcome the world. You know what I love about God's word? And I know it's time to close, and I'm closing. Is that, you know, do you remember when you were a teenager, for example, and maybe you weren't this way, but I was, and I was trying to figure out, who am I? Do you know, as you combed your hair in the bathroom, remember that? You all know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You know, and you're trying to be cool or whatever. You're a teenager, you know, and back then, you know, you had butch wax. Y'all remember the butch wax? You're bothering me this morning. But see, when I came to Christ, I found out who I am, who I was. You see, only the Bible gives those four questions about life, answers them for us. The first one, as I just said, who am I? Well, I was trying to figure out who I was until I came to Christ. And you know what? If you don't know Jesus, you're still trying to figure out who you are. You know who I am? Here, let me tell you. If you're in Christ, I know exactly who I am. I am a child of God now, and I am made in the image of God. Amen? I have the answer. In other words, I did not crawl out of the slime. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't come from a chimpanzee or any of those things. You know what I mean? No, I'm fearfully and wonderful made. The second question is this. Where did I come from? Well, I came from the loins of Adam. Adam is the federal head of the human race, and I came through Adam and Eve. And you know what? They fell, and then I got the same ingredients in me, and thank God now I'm born again. I was in Adam, now I'm in Christ. So I know who I am. I know where I came from. And the third thing is, what am I? What's my purpose? What's my purpose? You know what our purpose is? Our purpose is to know Him. That's it. To know God, to know Jesus. That's my purpose. I'm here. I know what my purpose is. It's to know Him. And then once you know Him, we represent Him. We're the ambassadors for Christ. Amen. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And the last thing, the greatest one, the fourth question is, where am I going when I die? Well, for the Christian, you know where you're going when you die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no guesswork. It was by grace that God saved you. It's by grace that God has written our names in the Lamb Book of Life. Amen? Where are you going when you die? Do you know Jesus Christ? Is He your Lord? Is He your Savior? Father, I thank You this morning for Your word. I thank You, Father, that there's no one like You. And I pray, Lord, that the specific areas in all of our lives that where sorrow has come in, where hurt has come in, we can put any name on it we want, Lord, but it's the area that's robbing our fruitfulness and we want it gone. Lord, by Your mercy, by Your grace this morning, I thank You that those that are broken, those that are hurting, oh Lord, heal them, bless them, help them. Let them recover from that area, Lord. And those that don't know You, never asked Jesus to come into their life, save them, Lord. Let them cry out right now. Say, save me. Father, save me. Jesus, be my Lord. Come into my heart. Save me. I pray over the church, Lord, that this year is the year for divine fruit bearing. I pray over their homes. I pray over their workplaces. I pray over their children, their grandchildren, their health, their finances, their marriages, their singleness, the colleges that they go to, whatever they do in their life, whatever station they're in, whatever age they're in. I pray in the name of Jesus that this is the year of fruitfulness for them, and that you would open a window from heaven and pour out upon this congregation such fruitfulness and such blessings that we would have to cry out, oh God, it is too much. It is too much. Now we love you. We praise you. We honor you this morning in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's